to close the day. Joining me here in studio in New Hampshire and trying to be very quiet as he unzips his winter coat.
North Face.
Is Brett Baier, who is chief political anchor here at Fox News. Of course, he is the host of Special Report every weeknight on Fox News Channel, including tonight. I'll be joining the panel this evening. Looking forward to that. Best-selling author. Latest book is To Rescue the Constitution. Great to see you, Brett.
Good to see you, too. You know, between all these buildings, it's still cold outside,
yes.
So you got to wear the North Face.
And there's different places. I know you've been out doing different things, so we really appreciate you making some time for us. I want to ask a couple things here. One related to this campaign, one related to things happening in the background, which I think will become really important in the campaign in a few months. Nikki Haley, more immediately here in New Hampshire, she is ramping up some of the criticisms of Trump, and she's now talking about the age factor more and more, not just about Joe Biden, but Trump as well, basically saying they're both roughly 80. Is this what we really want? And in cut 8 on CBS, she said this.
When I worked in his cabinet, I called him out if he was doing something wrong. I mean, I would show up, I'd pick up the phone and say, you can't do this. Instead, you could do X, Y, or Z. You know, so I always told him what I thought was in the best interest of the country when I was in his cabinet. But this is different. I mean, we're seeing he's just not at the same level he was at 2016. I think we're seeing some of that decline. But more than that, what I'll say is focus on the fact that no matter what it is, chaos follows him.
Yeah, so they have the chaos talking point, and I get it. It's fair. There is a lot of chaos around Donald Trump. I think that a lot of voters will nod along. My counterpoint, at least from my perspective, is you look at the chaos that has ensued from the Biden administration and their policies in Afghanistan at the border. There has been a lot of chaos inflicted on the country in the Middle East right now, around the world, by Biden and his weakness. That's my position on it. But the decline line was interesting. People are pointing to this moment at a rally just recently, a few days ago. Trump was apparently confusing Nikki Haley with Nancy Pelosi. Cut 20.
Never reports the crowd, you know. By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley, you know, did you know they destroyed all of the information, all of the evidence, everything? Deleted and destroyed all of it, because of lots of things like Nikki Haley is in charge of security. We offered her 10,000 people.
All right. He's obviously talking about Nancy Pelosi there. He's using the name Nikki Haley. He's claiming that he meant to do that because he likes to switch people's names to conflate them on purpose, like he does with Biden and Obama. That's his explanation. I don't believe that at all. I think he had Nikki Haley on his mind, said the name, but he was thinking of Nancy Pelosi. That's not necessarily evidence of decline, but people are pointing to it saying, okay, is this a problem on both sides of the aisle for the front runners?
Yeah, and Nikki Haley, to use the name, is using it on the trail, and she's bringing it up and saying both sides have issues and there should be a mental capacity test over 75. I think for anybody looking at the two, the former president and the president, there is a clear difference,
yes,
in the cognitive ability that is present day to day from how each one operates, how each one gets on and off a stage, how each one deals with the media, how each one delivers a speech. Yes, that speech right there, clearly he was confused on that name. I asked him about it in my interview over the weekend, and he basically said he's passed all the cognitive tests and he took another one sometime and he aced it and dismissed all of this talk about, you know, cognitive ability. But it is a talking point for Nikki Haley because the age thing does factor into polls that we talk to people and they're concerned. But less so about Trump supporters and less so on the Republican side.
What was it a few years ago? Was it man, woman, camera, TV?
Dog, giraffe,
you remember
elephant,
that whole thing?
Yeah.
With Dr. Siegel. And I think that you're right, because when he kept saying Nikki Haley, meaning Nancy Pelosi, I remember there was a time, I think I was on Outnumbered, and I was thinking about North Korea, and I just said North Carolina or something like that, and someone corrected me, and obviously I knew that North Carolina and North Korea are very different places, and I was talking about one and not the other. But occasionally in our line of work, when you're talking a lot, you misspeak and you get the wires crossed a little bit. Now, if Trump does that more and more, people will notice that could become a problem. But I think you're right, and I'm not a reflexive Trump defender at all. it is a different category of what we're seeing.
Yeah,
with Joe
and I'm
Biden.
Not defending him. I'm just saying this is point blank difference between the two.
Sure.
And somebody who really knows is Britt Hume, who at his age says, hey, listen, when you get up here, you screw up a lot more. And the presidency is a big deal. And so he talks about it very openly. And he has real problems with how President Biden operates on the trail day to day or in the office.
Oh, I'd take Britt over either of these guys personally. I don't know if Britt wants any part of that. Probably not. This is my personal endorsement. Does that actually work, though, from Haley's perspective? Because saying, you know, she's saying the Trump-Biden chaos, the Trump-Biden nightmare, they're both 80, and Trump says, hang on, I'm 77. I look forward to being, love to be 80.
Yeah, I'm hey, you're good.
Big difference, big difference.
Like a dog.
Like a dog, with tears in his eyes. So 4 years apart, right, and Biden seems worse for the wear in that way. Are their votes moving because of that argument? Or is Nikki Haley just saying, I only have certain options available to me. Let's grab this one and see what happens.
I think she's trying to tap into the almost 70% of people who say they don't want either of them to,
yeah,
to run, mm-hmm, to be the standard bearer. But I think that there are on the Republican side, a number of people that since the indictments, and particularly the Manhattan indictment, Britt talked about this the other day, the Alvin Bragg indictment seemed to solidify that this was this feeling on the Republican side of a political attack. And as all of it added up, and some of them are more substantive than others, it became almost a defensive thing, like they're going after him for some reason. Maybe it's because he is a bull in the China shop in Washington. And so I do think that there is a sense that the former president is saying, look, you remember how it was when I was president around the world with your pocketbook, with your economy, your personal economy. Now look at it. You know, it's a direct contrast.
Yeah.
And it's easy. It's easy to see. It's a little harder to say both these guys are really old. Give me a shot.
And even, I mean, I think that will be the crux of the general election. If it's Trump against Biden, as is expected, and Mary Catherine Hamm had a great line, 2020, just older. That's what we've got. It will be which candidate is more unpalatable, less acceptable to most voters. And on one hand, it'll be, all right, here's Trump and the chaos and the democracy stuff in the election. On the other hand, you were better off under Trump. Which one of those two dynamics wins? And that's obviously an open question. We'll come back to the election in a second. But since you brought up some of these indictments against Trump, I've said this a few different times. I think Alvin Bragg in New York City is the weakest one. I think they've got a mess in Georgia that we'll talk about from their perspective. I think it's sort of spinning out of control to some extent. Jack Smith, the federal cases, Andy McCarthy, for example, thinks the January 6th one is a little shaky, a little dubious. I think they've got Trump dead to rights on the documents and the obstruction, notwithstanding the Hillary Clinton double standard, which I fully concede. Alvin Bragg came first. That really created a rally effect around Trump, which I think torpedoed any chance anyone else had, including DeSantis. The Georgia case is interesting because they're trying to do this big RICO racketeering sweeping prosecution. And now we're staring at a judge ordering a hearing into the prosecutor because of these alleged improprieties. And now we're seeing Fani Willis going after the estranged wife of this lover boyfriend, allegedly, that she hired despite no experience in this realm to help run the prosecution against a former president of the United States. They're showering this guy with money, taxpayer money. She said he paid him the same as the others. Apparently, that's not even true. They went on these lavish vacations together. And now Fani Willis is in a position where she's attacking the wife of this guy she's apparently sleeping with in their divorce hearing, saying that she's conspiring with the Trump people to take her down. Wow.
Yeah.
Brett, this is a mess down there.
No, it's a real mess. And now there are calls from Democrats down there for her to be pulled off that case. And then
which she brought, it's her case.
Which she brought, and suddenly the case starts to really crumble. And, you know, the former president is using this on the trail really every time.
He should.
He used it just the other day when I asked him about all the indictments and that Nikki Haley was bringing them up. He went right to Fani Willis. I mean, it's almost like this is all political, 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 and then Fani Willis story. So, I mean, it's very...
Well, because it's salacious. It looks terrible. There's a big ethics problem for her. I'm also, just as an aside, I'm not a lawyer, thank God, but if I were a prosecutor and I had any sort of this kind of baggage in my life, I would want to make sure that I had every T crossed, every I dotted, if I'm going after the former president of the United States and a leading presidential contender out there at, like, hiring the person you're having an affair with and then going on vacation. It's like the arrogance, the stupidity. I can't believe it. And yet, what a gift. What a gift to Trump.
It is truly, truly a gift. And if you think about Alvin Bragg going first, mm-hmm. also a gift. This event, also a gift. So then you can put a, you know, a pall on all of it, a giant umbrella, and it's easier for him to make that case on the trail and in court.
However, because I think that's absolutely true, demonstrably so, with Republican voters and maybe some right-leaning independents. On the other hand, Reuters poll getting a lot of attention. It's not the only one. We've seen other polls showing that Trump's ability to win votes would be deeply damaged if he is convicted. He's got, what, 91 charges against him. One of them, he gets one of the felony convictions. 58% told Reuters they would not vote for Trump if that were to happen. And look, you never know.
Which is the timing thing. You know, listen, it all comes down to there is no fast track here. Are they going to get to trial before the election? Mm-hmm. It is like this race of two trains on a track going towards each other. Which one is going to veer off, or which one's going to hit and collide? And if it happens and hits and collides before election day, that's a really big thing. That affects independents and suburban women particularly. At the same time, you have a Hunter Biden case that is going to progress. Could it also go to trial and be another two trains that are going at each other?
Because there's the Joe Biden huge component to that whole scandal. Does that mitigate some of the problems? Now, you would still potentially, and it's not so hypothetical, you could have Trump as a convicted felon and then Biden under an ethical cloud but not a convicted felon. I just keep wondering, and I'll ask Ronna McDaniel later, is there a plan B, not away from Trump, but like, is there a plan at all, if Trump becomes a convicted felon, to still go to the American people and say, yes, you have to vote for our convicted felon, in a way that Republican voters will blow that off, like it's all illegitimate. Middle-of-the-road voters might not. Mm-hmm. What do they say to those voters?
Well,
if that happens?
that's what this primary was supposed to be about.
I know.
And this is what Ron DeSantis was supposed to pitch, but he went down the line and didn't realize how much a Republican base really wanted Trump back in. Nikki Haley has one chance. It's probably Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then she has 3 weeks before South Carolina. You know, they continue to say that no matter what happens on Tuesday, she is going on and fighting on.
That's what DeSantis said.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Without DeSantis.
It. Yeah.
So I agree with you. And I think that that's the break glass, you know, backup, because she will have delegates, and the convention could get to a point if he's convicted. But it won't happen before July.
No.
So I don't know what Ronald McDaniel's going to say.
No, and I think the convention would nominate Trump as a convicted felon over anyone else.
I agree.
And I think he might still win a general election, potentially, as a convicted felon. It just is a lot harder, and I just don't know if every Republican voter is thinking that one through the way I have. I could be wrong. I fully admit that. Last question, Brett Baier, since you mentioned tomorrow. Kind of make or break for Nikki Haley. I know that they've got this story that a strong second place. Strong second means nothing when it's a two-person race, right?
Yeah.
You have to win. Home state is next. That's good for her. Bad news, she's down 30 there. The polling seems to be slipping worse for her here in New Hampshire, not North Korea. Is there any chance for a big, big surprise tomorrow night, do you think?
Are you having cognitive decline?
Yeah. Big time. Big time.
Are
it's
you?
Very concerning. I withdraw from the presidential race henceforth.
Remember, Nevada is actually before South Carolina, and she's not even on the caucus there. She's on the primary ballot, so she gets zero delegates there no matter what. He's up 70% in Nevada. So that's your bounce out of here, goes to a place where Trump wins by 70%, let's say.
Where you're not competing, really.
And then you go to your home state. It's an uphill battle. It's a huge battle. If she pulls out a major upset here, or it's super close, a lot closer than we think it's going to be, that's a story that takes her forward. But I do think it's an uphill climb. And they concede that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't. Even a few weeks ago, they were talking about her maybe winning this state, and now they've really dialed some of that back. Whether it's what time does the poll close? 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, is it an 8:01 call? Is it an 8:30 call? Or is it deep into the night? That could be the drama that we are not foreseeing yet. But you never know. They like curveballs in this state sometimes.
I will tell you this: all polls will have been closed by the time we make a projection from the Fox News decision.
Whatever are you talking about, Brett? We actually did cover that here. Brett Baier will be on with you tonight on the panel on Special Report, 6 p.m. hour Eastern time, Fox News Channel, and then special coverage tomorrow night as well. You're co-anchoring. Great to see you. Thanks for dropping by.
You bet.
Let's take a break and come right back on The Guy Benson Show.